Blog Talk Radio.
See, I can kind of recall a little ways back, all trying to ball, always been black, and my hair, I tried it all. I even went flat, had a bumpy curly top and all that crap. Now, trying to be appreciated, happy-headed brothers never had no ladies. Then I hit the barbershop real quick, had a pimpy little twist, and it drove them crazy. Then I couldn't get no job, corporate wasn't hiring, no dreadlock. Then I thought about my dog from the block, kind of understand why they throw the steel and rock. Was it the hair that got me this far? All these girls, these cribs, these cars. I hate to say it, but it seems so flawed. Success didn't come till I cut it all off.
Little girl with a breast curl, AJ, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I wasn't forced cause with so much laughter. 15 and it all broke off. 18 and I went all natural. February 2002 I went on and did what I had to do. Cause it was time to change my life. Become the woman I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone.
How are you doing today? Welcome to another Blog Talk Radio show, our Inner Healers radio show. Today is a very special day because we will have Chris Griscom talking to us about self-esteem. As you know, Chris Griscom is an internationally acclaimed spiritual teacher, healer, and visionary. She is the author of 14 books, which have been translated into 13 languages, and is the world's leading authority on reincarnation. Mrs. Griscom founded the Light Institute of Galisteo in Mexico, and this is a very renowned spiritual healing center. And she also founded the Nisoni School for Global Consciousness. Chris Griscom's work has inspired and touched people across the globe. Chris was instrumental in the passing of the Peace Memorial for the state of New Mexico in 2003. In July of 2002, she was nominated for the prestigious Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion Award by a United States Congressman and Senator. Her humanitarian services and contributions in holistic health and education have been twice recognized by the Indian Board of Alternative Medicine, based in Calcutta, India. The board awarded Ms. Griscom with the Suwa Chakra Award on December 2, 1996. Past recipients of the award include the late Mother Teresa and the Dalai Lama. Ms. Griscom again traveled to Calcutta, India on December 1st in 1999 to receive the Lifetime Achievement Award from the board. Chris Griscom has devoted her life to the development of spiritual technology, the expansion of consciousness, and the evolution of the soul. She travels the world giving talks and seminars while continuing her work at the Light Institute. As you know, Inner Healers is an integrative health-oriented concept that considers that all the answers that we look for reside inside. It is by reaching inside that we can live healthy, happy lives. Those who resonate with this concept have been writing back and contacting each other, with whom we're starting a loving and caring worldwide community of like-minded souls. A company under the same name was created in Peru to help sustain both the concept and the community. We believe in broadening minds and lessening frontiers, for it's not about where we are based, but about remembering we are all inner healers. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Luciana.
Hi, dear. How are you doing today?
Oh, super, super. Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you and all of your guests.
Thank you. Welcome to our show. It's a real honor to have you here with us. Can you please tell us a little bit about who you are, about your work, and how come you started this path for all the listeners that already know you and that might be the first time that listen to you as well?
Well, I'll be brief about that, because what's more important is talking about our self-esteem and our connection to our deepest inner self. And I think, like everyone, we learn or we awaken to our wisdom or to our inner healer through the experiences that we have in life. And I had many experiences in the Peace Corps in Latin America with life and death and health that caused me to reach out beyond what I could see around me and to look for a new recognition of what could be true or my place in the world. And so I then began the Light Institute of Galisteo, which is a place where we work on our sense of self, who we are, and that who we are includes our many incarnations of the soul. So we use a technology that my own higher self created to allow us to go beyond our daily lives. And then I created the Nijoni School for Global Consciousness, again, for us to recognize that it is not so hard to expand our consciousness and find our center.
Mm-hmm. So, how come you decided to build all of this? How come you connected with your own inner self and decided that this is what I want to do with my life?
You know, I think right now we have a universal theme for all of the soul family that we are across the planet, and that is to search for our voice, to feel as if we need to communicate with each other through our hearts, but through the voice of our hearts, we could say. And I think that's what caused me to begin that path, to feel that I needed to speak what I had learned, and to acknowledge in speaking what I had learned that other people know these things as well. You know, Luciana, I have 14 books, and in each of them, my purpose is simply to remind people that they know these things, that they too have had experiences that allow them to be wise, to allow them to be true to their inner knowing.
Mm-hmm. So for you, everybody has this inner voice who is constantly asking us to do what we really want to do with this life, yes?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Not so much do what we want to do as be who we want to be. You know, we call that the higher self, which is the intuitive essence of the soul. It's that part of knowing that we have, our own intuitive wisdom. that all people have. And when we look to that, when we listen to that, it's much easier for us to find what you're calling self-esteem, or what we call sense of self, a sense of self that is not dissolved by the outside world disagreeing with us or by comparing ourselves to the outside world, but a place of center inside that trusts who we are. And that's what's needed very much on this planet.
So how would you define this self-esteem? What is it for you?
Well, for me, the self-esteem or the sense of self is a sense that says, and I am that I am. This is a Portuguese expression. I am that I am, no better, no worse, and I find it good. You know, so self-esteem is the capacity to acknowledge the self, to trust the self, and to not, again, compare ourselves to the outside world. If our attention is on what does the outside world think of me or how they describe who I am, then we can't find who we are because it's always through the filter of someone else who is looking at us through their own mirror. So self-esteem is a kind of peaceful recognition of the self that releases judgment, that releases comparison, that simply can sit with that sense that there's a purpose in my life. And I would say that the purpose of our lives is the evolution of our soul. And that means that whether we fall on our faces, whether we do things that we wish we hadn't done, that all of that is a part of the illumination, part of the growing that occurs as we come into body as humans.
And would you say that to find out our own sense of self, we can listen to our inner voice to be able to do this?
Yes, I would say it's the only way that you can build self-esteem. Mm-hmm. At the Light Institute in the Nijoni School, we have a series of what we call exercises in consciousness. And for example, if you wanted to build your self-esteem, we might say, go into a memory in this lifetime or in another lifetime in which you have been at peace with yourself, when you have trusted yourself, when you have accepted without judging yourself. And when you have that memory, that energy can be reawakened inside you. And so you begin to rebuild or have a foundation for recreating yourself. Because you know, Luciana, that in our lives, every experience, every thought that we have reconstructs our sense of self. You are not who you were as a child, but the energy that you had then that was unafraid, that was not feeling in comparison less than others, that kind of energy serves you now once you remove it from the crystallization of the memory. And so we can only build self-esteem through looking inside ourselves. And that's why I love the title of your work, The Inner Healer, because my higher self says that at this moment on the planet, we must all be our own inner healer, our own inner teacher, our own inner divine source.
Right, that's part of the work we're here to help with. So you were saying that some of the things that you ask people in your school is maybe get back to a memory in which they were experiencing peace, in which they were experiencing their own sense of self in a peaceful manner. Would you say that meditation will help them do that?
Yes, of course. When you look inside, you're always in a meditative state. You know, meditation is simply the slowing down of the brain patterns. It's simply the drawing the focus from the outside world to the inside reality. And so, of course, meditation helps. And when we do these exercises in consciousness or we do these incarnations of the soul, we're always in a meditative state. My higher self says that life is meditation and meditation is life. It is not so complicated. In the past, we always felt that we had to sit in a position, that we had to be away from the world. What taught me having six children and a very busy life is, again, that I am meditating. Whether I am doing something of daily life or I'm driving or I'm sitting in meditation, it doesn't make any difference. It's a state of consciousness, and it is that consciousness that defines us. And that definition is not crystallizing what we do or how we compare ourselves, but rather our capacity to extend our consciousness out and embrace the hologram of the conscious realities, of the cosmos, of all that is good.
That's very interesting. You were saying that you have six kids and also you created these two businesses. Sometimes when I'm with my students or my patients, they come and say, I don't have enough time to meditate because I have kids or because I have to work. How did you manage to do this?
Yes. You know, I learned that if I were cooking dinner or I was driving the children to town or something, that I could simply say to myself, I am meditating, and slow down my brain waves and feel that peace that comes with meditation and be in that. And from that place, deal with my children, deal with my life. It makes it much more graceful.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to separate out. In fact, the mandate to all humanity at this time is not to separate out, to bring meditation into life, to bring a sense of self that inspires us into all of our actions and all of our thoughts and all of our choices.
So for all the maybe mothers that are listening to us or all the people that work and have to do a lot of things, you know, because our days are usually very busy with many things to do at the same time.
Yes, of course.
Did you yourself ever had any self-esteem issues when you started this journey, because you actually had to fit in everything, you know, your work, your kids, your family, and your own interests, maybe going having exercises or yoga classes. I saw that you have yoga classes in the garden. So how did you manage to do this? Did you have any self-esteem issues while you started this journey?
Of course.
Can you please tell us a little bit
Yes, everyone has these issues, and there are two parts to that. One of the things was that I always said to my children, and I always said to myself, it's all right if I feel that I do something that's not perfect. It's all right to experience life, you know. And one of the problems that happens for people who are teachers is that they feel that they cannot be real. And it's very important for us all to be real. It's important for the teacher to see that the student is also the teacher. I can remember the first time I went to give talks in Europe. I broke my foot about 3 days before I was going to go on a 3-week tour, and I realized that I broke my foot, and the meaning of it was that I felt so insecure. Would I be listened to? I think that's a universal theme for all of us. Will people hear us? Will they understand us? Will they allow us to speak? But when I realized that I broke my right foot, which represents stepping out into the world, then I was able to heal the foot and go on. And I also once had a very powerful experience that broke that pattern of concern about who I am. That was when I gave birth in the ocean. And I came back and all the midwives were angry at me because they were still trying to get acceptance. And here I had jumped the gun and done something that was way beyond that. And so they were really angry that I had threatened their capacity to connect with the medical profession. And I can remember sitting in my car and sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And then all of a sudden, I realized that it wasn't whether they could understand why I did it or that I had to defend it, but that I had done something and it was mine. And that broke me from the pattern of, does the world accept me? Is it okay with the world? Because in the end, Luciana, what we do and what we say, again, comes from within us. And it is for us to listen to ourselves. It is for us to hear our own voices. And when we hear our own voice, then we become peaceful. And that allows us to let go of the issues of self-esteem.
That's very interesting because Usually people relate their own sense of value by what others think of them, right?
That's right. We're all trained to do that in all of our cultures. Our socialization patterns are please the parents, please the teacher, get along with the children, you know, and no one teaches people. This is why I created the Nishoni School for Global Consciousness. No one teaches us, listen inside yourself. You know, trust yourself. Correct what needs to be correct. Have compassion for yourself. And always hold the best in yourself. I was very fortunate to have a brilliant and wonderful mother who said to me, if you can't see something good in someone, then don't look. You know, if you can't say something nice about someone, don't speak. And it was a great teaching to train me to look for the best in each one of us. Well, that includes the self. So, for example, if I'm working with someone and we're working with our inner child who's the wisest person we'll ever know, I will often say, extend your consciousness to your inner child and look at the qualities that you brought into this world. Because when we judge ourselves, we forget that we have qualities of joy, of love, of intelligence. And so it's very important for people to come back to, what are my qualities? I can name them. I can acknowledge them. And when we acknowledge these qualities, again, we can begin to build on them. And we can see that we really are magnificent beings, all of us.
That's very, very interesting. And I love what your mother said. It's a very wise comment to tell you.
Yes.
So you were also talking about having your foot broken just before you had to go on a tour. Sometimes, I don't know how you feel about this, do you feel that sometimes your body is trying to tell you something when it gets sick?
I wrote several books about that theme. Soul Bodies is one of them. Absolutely, Luciana. The very first thing I was ever taught by a curandera in Mexico when I was very young was whole in the spirit, whole in the body. And what she meant by that was there is no sickness. There is no thing that happens in your body that is not a message to you. Not to hurt you. Your body's not doing something to punish you, but it's saying, pay attention. Each part of our body tells a particular story. Each organ in our body tells a particular story. So we can learn a lot about what is the source or the cause of our imbalances or our diseases by listening to our bodies. And in fact, when we listen to our bodies, we can prevent ourselves from being sick, or we can get well very quickly. Healing is very important to me because our bodies are our laboratories. You know? They are teaching us. My higher self says the body never lies. The body never goes through an experience without some purpose in it, and it never pretends. You know? If you have a sore throat, it's telling you something spiritually, emotionally, and physiologically. Physiologically, it's telling you that your adrenals are stressed, that you're in stress. You know, emotionally, there's that theme again. Will I be listened to? Can I speak my voice? Spiritually, we are all on that level on the planet at this time. And that's why the theme of self-esteem is so important. We have to trust ourselves to speak. Now, one of the things that I've always said to my students is, speak your truth, but just know that it may change by tomorrow because truth is what we experience. And so as we grow, as we have experiences in life, we see new realities and new perspectives. And that's why it's so important to allow ourselves to feel who am I from inside.
Right. So would you say that our body, you know, listening to our body can help us build a high self-esteem?
Yes, because, for example, you could say to your body, where am I holding courage at this moment, for example? Or where am I holding a sense of self, a positive sense of self, which is another way of saying self-esteem. And then go into that place in your body, whether you hear it or see it or feel it, where am I holding this good self-esteem or this courage? Oh, in my heart. Good. Bring your consciousness into your heart and feel that energy. As we awaken to feeling energies, we feel secure. We know it is true. And so that's what gives us the courage to look at life in a different way.
Right. So, you know, self-esteem as a topic was picked among several topics due to the amount of people requesting us to share our light about it. Why do you think this is an important topic nowadays?
Because, you know, in the past, think of our primordial past. We lived in tribes. We all had very distinct roles. We never moved out of that. We didn't develop that individuation of self. And we are moving through the individuation of self into the capacity to work in group consciousness. To be able to do that, we have to have a center core. We have to be at peace with ourselves. In all of the disruptions in the world today, in order to feel that we have something to offer, to feel good about our lives, we have to begin with, I can do this. I am a part of this. And so self-esteem is what gives us permission, we could say, to recognize, I want to help. I want to be a part of the world. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the courage to do it. We would be hiding in the caves. And we've already spent many incarnations of the soul separating out daily life, emotional realities from our spiritual realities. And even punishing our physical bodies in so doing. And so self-esteem is the cornerstone of feeling the courage to speak your truth or to reach out and help someone else or to have compassion. You can't have compassion for someone else if you're judging yourself. You will judge them as well. And this is why that is so important. Again, it's the basis of feeling the strength to say, my life has purpose in everything that I feel and think and do, and I will extend that so that I'm visible. Self-esteem is about visibility. You know, it's about that willingness to be present, to not be afraid that someone will not allow you to speak. One of the reasons that we do incarnational work is that I find that healers and psychics and teachers, most all of them have experiences in other lifetimes of being burned at the stake, of being punished for their wisdom. And on the planet at this time, we must all release our fear that we're going to be punished for who we are. And when we have a strong self-esteem, we don't attract that to us. It's our fear that attracts negativity to us. So when we are unafraid of who we are, if we're unafraid to fall on our face, to make a mistake, just to be our true loving self, our spiritual self, then we can be visible and we can get about what we're here for. That's why self-esteem is so crucial to our purpose mm-hmm. in life and how we relate to ourselves, to our families, to everyone around us.
Mm-hmm. So how would you say that fears like guilt, for example, can hinder our ability to experience a high self-esteem?
I'm sorry, I missed the beginning of that. How is fear?
Yeah. How would you, what do you feel about fear, like different types of fear? Guilt, for example, can hinder our ability to experience a high self-esteem?
Well, of course. Fear is the crux of low self-esteem. Fear of the others, fear of our power, fear of our failures, fear of our bodies, fear of life. If we have that kind of, if we have any of those and all of those kinds of fear, we will not have a high self-esteem. Self-esteem is not about patting yourself on the back and the Judeo-Christic thought form of, I'm the good guy, you know, that kind of self-righteousness. Self-esteem is about the peace that allows us to grow and to be who we are and to allow everyone else to be that. That very same thing. So fear is not a thought form. It's an energy in our bodies. That's why horses and dogs can smell us when we have fear and react to us. So can other people. If you want people to acknowledge you or to listen to what you have to say, you have to clear the fear. And so in one of my very first books, I spoke about how to release fear. See it as an energy that is ensconced within your physical body and use light to release it. Because when you say, I'm going to clear this fear, and you clear the fear from your body, it releases from your mind, it releases from your emotions, and you feel peaceful. And that's when your self-esteem rises up. If you are fearful, you cannot have a high self-esteem.
Right. And among the fears, the common fears that we usually have, what about guilt?
Well, guilt, of course, is tied to judgment. And all of that conversation of our sense of self being built by the outside world. And so we feel guilty. We're taught to feel guilty. We didn't do this right. We weren't good enough, et cetera, which is poured upon us by our religions, by our parents, by our societies. So guilt is a very poisonous kind of energy that produces fear. They are inextricably intertwined. Fear, guilt, judgment, they all circle around each other. And the way that we do the work here at the Light Institute in Nijioni is to recognize with our consciousness the way that these energies suck us, you know, the way that they bring down our self-esteem or poison us, and to treat them as energies. And through the energy of light, because our bodies are made of light, by using color, we can release those energies from our bodies, and suddenly we feel differently. And that's how we build a higher self-esteem or sense of self.
That's very interesting. So what would you say are the signs that we manifest when we are living with a low self-esteem?
Separation, fear of the others, self-defense, defensiveness, and blaming. Blame is a big conversation there. Justification, I'm better than you because, those kinds of things. When the mind, when the emotional mind is always chattering, always defending, always saying, I should have said this, it's because of that, then that is always demonstrating low self-esteem. And what's beautiful, Luciana, is that we can clear that. We don't have to live with it. And again, what I truly want to say to all of you is never confuse a high self-esteem with pride, with judgment, with self-righteousness, I am better than you. Self-esteem is not about the other. Self-esteem is about compassion for the self and encouragement and inspiration to the self.
Mm-hmm. So, as we usually tend to look to others for our own value, how would you say people can start looking into themselves to experience self-esteem?
This, as I said, by the kinds of technology of consciousness that we have developed at Nijioni and the Light Institute, which is to look inside. For example, the higher self. If you want to have a sense of trusting the self, you want to connect to your innate spiritual energy. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about if you're a good guy, you know. I'm talking about the sense of belonging to the universe, to nature. And so, for example, we would say, just stop for a moment. Actually, you could do it while you're driving the car and ask your higher self to take form. And that, again, is the intuitive essence of the soul. So you might see a tree or a light or a being or an animal, and then ask your higher self to touch the place that needs a good sense of self and feel that touch. Because when we allow ourselves to connect, to not use those old patterns of God would be disapproving of me, but rather I'm connected to my spiritual source. You can't be in body without a spiritual source. You can clone animals or people, but you cannot clone the spirit. And so when you feel that your own intuitive essence of your soul is touching your body, it lifts you, it inspires you. So I would say exercises like that. For example, what color do I need today to be in my center? And then draw that color into your body. Or ask your body, where is my best self-esteem at this moment? and then bring your consciousness into that place in your body and just breathe in and out of that point that you hold of a true self-esteem. With that, you don't have to feel that it's higher or lower. It's a true energy. It belongs to you. No one can take it away. You know, Luciana, I learned this by working in Bolivia in the men's penitentiary. And I worked with rapists and killers and political exile people. And I was there when they tortured the prisoners. And something beautiful I learned there, which was that you can do whatever you want to the body or the mind, but you can't touch the consciousness. Can't touch that true self. And so when you allow that self to face its own energy, to recognize that it's eternal, that the soul is eternal, something happens and we are transformed. And so, again, if you want to inspire yourself, if you want to be who you are, you have to let go of what the outside world thinks is true and not be defensive, but feel energetically. Go beyond the mind because that's the emotional mind. But rather, go into the sense of being touched or the beautiful light or that sense of here is my center and be with that for a moment. And within a matter of seconds, it will lift you from your fear. It will lift you out of your anger. It will bring you into a place that says, I am that I am.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that maybe listening to our body can also take us, you know, you were talking about staying in a color and drawing this color upon us. Would you say that there are any physical signs, you know, does our body tell us something through specific parts of the body? Is there anything related with self-esteem?
Of course, every part of the body holds either a sense of self that's positive or negative. You know, again, each part of the body describes its own truth for you. And that's why we use light and we use the body as a point of reference, because the body is our vehicle of consciousness, of purpose, of experience. It is, again, our laboratory. And the reason that we use light is that the body is physiologically made of light through the endocrine glands. And each time a cell reproduces itself, it reproduces itself through ultraviolet light. That means that all of us are very sensitive to color. And it allows us to move from the conversations, the chatter, the destructiveness of the mind into an energy that actually heals our body and heals our sense of self. Again, you cannot have a high self-esteem by talking about it to yourself. I'm a good guy, I'm a good guy, I'm a good guy. No, you have to feel an energy. You'll know that you have a high self-esteem if you feel peaceful, if you let go of the chatter. And so the body is a great, great vehicle and holds the power of lifting us into something. And all of us have many, many memories, for example, in this lifetime of moments when we felt good, when we truly loved the self. They might have been when you were a child. They might have been 10 minutes ago. They might have been as we are talking and the audience is listening right now and the audience is saying, yes, I am that I am. And that's okay. And that makes me worthy to myself, and therefore I feel good about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And because the body is constantly changing, through the changing of the body, we can heal our sicknesses, we can heal our emotions, we can heal our mind. And that's what makes life inspiring.
So would you say there is a relation between shyness and low self-esteem?
Mm-hmm. In a way, yes and no. Shyness is often something that is instilled upon a very small child. Sometimes it's there because we bring it in from other incarnations. Sometimes it's there because the mother feels afraid in the womb, and we suck in through the blood transformation or transforming energy her emotions. into us, so sometimes we're born with that energy. But shy people often do have a fear. They are shy. They don't want to speak. They don't want to be visible because they are actually afraid that they will be judged.
Yeah.
And so shyness goes away. Shyness is not the essence of your soul. Shyness is something that you learned in this lifetime. You learned it psychogenetically from your parents or your parents' parents, or you brought it in from another incarnation. So shyness is simply a symptom of a thought form or conclusion you have about yourself. I better not be visible because I might not be chosen. That's very primordial. In the primordial past, if you were not chosen, the tribe didn't survive. So we have carried these thought forms, these genetic imprints from the beginning of humanity. So I like to say to everyone, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Let go of being afraid of what the others think of you. And you know, one of the ways you can do that to release that fear that I have found in terms of the inner healer that's so important, place your attention on the goodness in the other person. What we call at the Light Institute, piercing the heart. Don't look at their anger. Don't look at what they're saying or what they're doing. Look at them as a true soul. And as you put your attention on who they are, you will forget your shyness. You will forget yourself, and therefore you will be a healing energy on the planet. And one of the things that I've learned is that when you heal others, as I'm sure you know, Luciana, when you heal others, you heal yourself. When you heal yourself, you heal others. Because you are a center point in your family, whether the family knows it or not. That's called karma. That's called a spiritual alignment, a spiritual connection that we have. We are never alone in life.
Mm-hmm. So there are people who sometimes come to to classes, and they constantly ask me this question: how can I know if my nervousness to talk, if my shyness, if my constant sense of guilt comes from, unresolved issues on my childhood, or actually come from unresolved things that they lived before in previous incarnations? What would you tell them?
Well, I would say that all of your conflicts come from part of the evolution of your soul. They always come from other incarnations, from other lifetimes. And the reason that they come up in this lifetime is that you have come into body in order to balance them, in order to evolve and to go on from them. So they cannot stop you. And if you realize that they are part of your growth, they will not block you. All shyness, all conflicts come from these spiritual levels. They do. And they are simply echoed through your body because your body is your vehicle. And that's why we use the body as the point of reference. If you're looking at a lifetime, where are you holding the shyness that you had in that lifetime? Maybe in that lifetime, you were the opposite. You were so angry and violent and visible that you hurt yourself and others. So in this lifetime, you're tiptoeing around because you're afraid that that will come up. And the way that you hear that, heal that, is that you look at it and release it. It's the releasing. That's what's so important about our sense of self. It's not holding on to something that you imprinted in your childhood, but dissolving all of those points of reference so that the pure energy can come into you and you can reinvent who you are every day, how you relate to your family, how you are visible in the world. It's always the power of your own choice. So I would say to people, don't try to think about it. Don't try to change your life by thinking. A great man once said that understanding is the booby prize. You can understand everything and it won't change anything. That's why spiritual recognition is so important. Not just understanding, but changing the energy. As you do that, your body will become healthy, and you will be your own inner healer.
Mm-hmm. So if spiritual recognition is so important for us, Is there any practical route to constantly experience high self-esteem? How can we constantly think high of ourselves?
Again, not by evaluating it, not by saying, okay, I'm okay, I'm a good guy, but actually energetically contacting that. And that's why these exercises in consciousness are so important. Everyone can do them. Where am I holding a positive sense of self at this moment? Because it'll be in a different place each time. And maybe you hear in my hand. Good. Then bring your awareness into your hands and feel as if you're contacting that point of reference of feeling good about yourself. Feel the energy. And as you do that, and then let that flow through your body, as you do that, whether you're touching your child or you're being a physical healer or you're knitting something or you're making food, your energy in your hands, which is holding this positive sense of self, will exude out from you. And that makes a difference. It changes you and it changes the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. So do you think that self-esteem is something measurable? How can we measure it in our lives?
No. Well, I think it can be measured in an energetic way. In other words, it's easy to measure it. At this moment, are you peaceful? Do you laugh? Do you applaud yourself? Do you allow yourself to say, that was well done, well done, Luciana? Do you say that to yourself? If you do, you have a good self-esteem. If there's a voice inside that says that's not good enough, oh, I should have done the other, then your self-esteem is low at that moment. Remember that your self-esteem moves up and down through your own judgment of your experiences in life. So to measure it as if you were measuring your blood pressure is basically absurd. You can know at any moment whether you are in your center and whether you are using the power of a positive sense of self, positive self-esteem is very easy. How are you feeling? How are you feeling about yourself at any moment? And again, when you allow yourself to be visible and you look out at your family or on the street or strangers and you are courageous enough to put your attention on them, then you automatically trust yourself. You automatically have a powerful sense of good self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about trust, do you think that faith plays an important role in our self-esteem?
Praise? Are you using
plays
the word
an
praise?
Important role.
Yeah.
Actually, faith. Do you think that faith in any way plays an important role in our self-esteem development?
I'm not catching your word. Is the word faith or praise?
It's faith, F-A-I-T-H.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yes, but I would say faith is a different thing. In terms of self-esteem, when we say the word faith, we usually mean that we feel we have faith because we trust God. What we need to understand or to experience is that the divine source, God, is within you. And so the faith that you want to have is in the self, in that you are carrying within your body the energy of the divine source of the cosmos, that God is within you. Many years ago, my higher self gave me a teaching, and it said, God grows through you. That means that God evolves, and that through each of your experiences and thoughts and illuminations, you expand and allow the divine source to evolve. And so, of course, it is within you. But the faith usually means faith in something outside you. Faith that God will take care of you, that God will make it okay, that God will forgive you. And so all of those points of reference are external. So I would say that true self-esteem is holding that divine energy inside you. One of the exercises I used to give my students was to go out and walk in the street and walk as if you were divine, because you are. Walk as if you were had the Christed energy. Walk as if you were carrying God within you. And people will relate to you very differently. Mm-hmm. That is not pride. So, it's not I have it and you don't have it. It's simply a truth. I can be this. I am this.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you say to people who don't believe in God?
Oh, I would say it's irrelevant. But that's, you know, again, the conversations that we have about belief, about faith, are not really very useful in changing ourselves or changing the world. I would never get into that. That's all right. Certainly you must have a sense of self. You're in a body. You live and die. If you think that when you die that's the end, that's all right. As we experience, we learn new things. You asked me in the beginning how I came onto this path. One of the most important experiences I had in my life as a Peace Corps volunteer in El Salvador was holding a lot of babies that died in my arms. And so that allowed me to recognize that life and death are great teachings. So we don't have to worry about, you know, what we think. Not really. Not really. It doesn't matter. It doesn't separate us from those who think that there's a God, who thinks that my God is different than you, God. None of that is very, very important. What's important is that we find a place that we can trust inside ourselves, and we can look out at the enemy, and we can look out at the person who's different from us, and we can find that sense of connection. And when we have that, then we have the strength of true sense of self, of true self-esteem. And we can see that in another. If you hold that in yourself and you hold that another person is good, then everything will be all right. And all the conversations about what is true and what is not true are irrelevant. That's why my higher self says that truth is what we experience, and it changes as we experience and grow through our lives.
Mm-hmm. So what role do you feel ego plays on our self-esteem development?
You know, we have a perspective. We use the word ego as if it meant the part of us that protects us or defends us. And so spiritually, we think of ego in a negative way. But I would say the opposite. And I studied psychology when I was young, and I saw that psychology didn't take us to the ultimate truth. And that's how I came to the work that I use today. And so what I would say is that the ego self is important. It's important to acknowledge, talk about self-esteem, that you acknowledge that you are here, your name is Luciana, and that you are here, and because you know your name, you can find your purpose, and therefore you can feel good about yourself. You can be a part of the world. When the ego is only the external part of the emotional body, it's just the outside crust that defends, that protects, that wants to win the battle, that wants to be visible, that wants to be loved. But if you allow the ego to connect with your spiritual self, with your true self, the ego then becomes a part that supports you. I am individuated. I have my name, and I have my qualities, and I use them. Therefore, the ego is useful. And having been around a lot of spiritual masters, quote unquote, in my life, I've noticed that they all still have ego. And that's all right. That's all right. It's just how we use ego. Just remember that the ego is only the outside of your emotional body. The emotional body functions through association and conclusion. So what is your conclusion of yourself? What is your thought form about yourself? Hopefully it is, I am loving, I care about others, I am intelligent, I am happy, I am healthy. Those are the kinds of conclusions and associations that we need in order to have a positive self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. So what are the benefits of living with a high self-esteem?
Yeah, the benefits of the higher self-esteem is that if you're happy, the people around you are happy. If you trust yourself, others will trust you. So instead of looking for yourself in the mirror of others, you find yourself within you, within your own higher self, within your own body, and that is reflected out to others, and then they can see themselves in a more positive light. So a high self-esteem allows you to be visible. It allows you to connect. All humans want to connect with each other. It allows you to feel that you have a place in the cosmos and in your life, so that there's nothing that you do or feel that's too small. You don't have to be a big, important person to have a high self-esteem. You just have to be peaceful and happy. So high self-esteem is crucial to us all.
Yeah, so there are so many benefits of living with a high self-esteem. Why do you think it is so difficult for us nowadays to live with a high self-esteem?
Because we've never been taught how to use it. We've never been taught how to find our self-esteem. Everything we've been taught is against self-esteem. Don't have an ego. Don't think yourself good. Don't think yourself worthy of God. Everything that we've been taught pushes us down and says, you don't have the right to feel good about yourself. That's just selfish. If you focus on yourself, you're selfish. These are the kinds of teachings that we've had. So it's a new time on this planet, and that's why this theme is so important, beginning this new year, is to say, let me feel good about myself. Let me teach my children to have a good self-esteem. Let us all learn patience and compassion and empathy and love and expansion. And so it's a new teachings, and that's why your inner healer program is so very important. We want to practice a high self-esteem. Again, I wouldn't use the word high self-esteem. I would just say a positive sense of self. When you feel a sense that you are a good person and you can trust that, that changes the world and gives you purpose. So it's not what you do. It's who you are. That makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. So for all the listeners, you know, out there, there are different kinds of listeners, different people looking for different things. So some of them might be healers who are just waking up to their own healing path, or psychics who are just waking up to their own psychic path. What would you tell them about self-esteem? You know, because sometimes when people have to do, you know, the change and embrace this path, they usually have to leave behind many things and also many people. What would you tell them about self-esteem here?
What I would say is go to the center of your being and never stop evolving. Again, I've seen so many healers get cancer, which has an etiology of just let me out, become ill because they have put on a facade. They have put on a face that says, I am the teacher or I am the healer, and they have lost their connection to their own true self, and that's poison to them. Always grow. See each person, each patient, each experience as an opportunity for illumination. And as you do that, the more that you do that, the more that you will heal yourself, the more that you will recognize your purpose and be joyful. And that is what is essential. So I would say that transformation, there is no way out of it. We are all evolving. We are all growing. Never feel that you can't do that. Here at the Light Institute at Nijoni, the very first thing we do is say, let's unburden ourselves from our masks. Let's unburden ourselves, and let's just get down to business here. Use your energy from the cosmos. Don't let it just be you healing somebody or you being the psychic. You must connect to these cosmic energies. Any healer that hopes to be rewarded by her patient will become sick. To be a healer, you have to pull the energy of recognition and acceptance and wholeness from the cosmos. Bring it down to the top of your head. Extend it out through your solar plexus, which is the seat of the emotional body. Extend it out. As you extend out your energy, then you only attract positive energy towards you. And so we are all in this together. There is no killer, and this is what I learned from working with prisons. There is no killer who has not been a healer in other lifetimes. And there is no healer that has not been a killer. So when we let the facades go, then we have an incredible increase of power. And that's what lifts our self-esteem. Not some false idea. I'm a good psychic, I'm a good healer, therefore I'm okay. It's not what we do. It's really the truth of our vibration. And there is no one who needs to fall into the illusion of guilt or blame or negativity that cannot find a good self-esteem, not a killer, not a sick person. There is no one who is separated from being able to feel a positive self-esteem. And that's the beauty of life. That's the beauty of it. So I applaud all psychics, all healers to continue working on themselves. At the Light Institute, 3 times a year, we give ourselves intensives to look at whatever is troubling us, whatever is blocking us, to remember again, to look into lifetimes and memories of positive self-esteem that can carry us, that can make us courageous, that can make us compassionate. So a healer has the responsibility, a psychic has the responsibility of opening more and more the aperture of positive reality, not comparing the self with others. If you compare yourself with others, there will always be someone who has more power than you, that's more beautiful than you, that's a better healer than you, and you will fall into that comparison, will take you into negativity and self-judgment. And so we have to look at each other person and see their qualities and see our own, but not in comparison. That's the purpose of individuation.
Right. So what would you tell parents who are raising up kids that might be a lot more aware than they were when they were kids? You know, what would you tell them about helping their kids develop a positive sense of self?
That's a beautiful question. What I would say to all parents is, first of all, you teach your children much more than you recognize by your own security, by your own self-esteem. That's the best way to teach your children. Teach your children that they are good no matter what they do. Teach them to say, I'm sorry. Teach them to say, I'm with you. Teach them to look out and to pay attention to other people outside of just defending themselves or winning the argument. Show them how to be true to the self. Teach them to be visible in the highest octave, to be unafraid of someone else's judgment. No one can tell you who you are. When you look at a killer, you cannot know what he has suffered as a child that has separated him from love, that makes him survive at any cost. You cannot know the many incarnations of his soul that are bringing him to this moment to punish himself. We cannot know these things. And so we must teach our children how to look out the world and engage and know that they will not lose the war because they say, I'm sorry. That they have to be able to continually pass through the blocks to surmount the difficulties. And that each time that you are true to yourself, you will have a sense of goodness. And, you know, we teach our children to hide from the truth. We teach them to hide from their mistakes instead of teaching them to say, oh, I made a mistake. Oh, all right, now I know. That's the purpose of life, is to have experiences and to be able to look at each experience and use your intelligence. Either that experience brought in awareness, illumination, happiness, growth, or it brought separation, negativity, and hurt. We are intelligent beings. If we are taught to look at these things, we will automatically choose what lifts our own self-esteem and that of others. But we can't continue this polarity on the planet. We can't continue it in war. We can't continue it in a family. And the other thing I would say to parents of children is, spiritually, you must know that your children chose you for whatever contracts and vows you have together, whatever they will learn from you and you will learn from them. And so you must continue to change and to grow throughout a life. And if you have that, then you'll never be afraid to be your true self. and you will allow yourself to be honed through each experience, to do it better each time, and be able to apply yourself. We don't teach children that they have qualities to say, you're really good at math, you're really smart, you can play ball well. But we never say, you are a beautiful, loving person. I admire you. I would say to parents, know that your children are fully developed beings. They didn't begin with you. They are a fully developed soul that chose you. And I would also say it's important for parents to know, like our exchange with the divine source, like God, your children will change you. They change you. You grow through them in the same way that God grows with you. The Creator is changed by its creation. So parents need to know that they can say, I made a mistake. They can say, I'm sorry to their children. It's the way that they present themselves, unafraid of whether they fail or succeed in some external way. That's what makes children grow up to be secure and to have high self-esteem, to be unafraid of themselves and others.
Mm-hmm. And on the business front, as a businesswoman,
yes,
what would you think is the importance of developing a positive sense of self in our companies, with our peers and our employees?
Yes, that's a beautiful conversation. Self-esteem is part of our ability to be visible. Now, we have to take off our mask and be our true self. In business, we say, wear a mask, look successful, be the leader, make people believe in you. And that does make for successful business. But if you want people to trust you, if you really want to be successful, be your true self and mirror to them their true self. And that's what will make people choose you. It will attract people to you. It will magnify and magnetize people to you, and that's what will make you successful in business. And so high self-esteem is very crucial in business, but it can't be that illusory self-esteem. It can't be that preening, you know, I'm the boss here. It has to be a true communication that uses your wisdom and your intelligence. I have an idea. I know how to solve this. I know how to create something new that will make us successful. In business, business is here on this planet to teach us how to work in tandem, in concert with each other. If you are successful, then I am successful. So a successful business that gives something that's useful to the planet and to our time is a business that helps others be successful as well. And I love the fact that many powerful, wealthy business people in the world are realizing that the changes that need to occur will come from the private sector, will come from businesses, not governments, not other forms of control, but by people who are successful saying, I'll now show you how to be successful, who are unafraid that if you're successful, you'll take away from me. And so it's a new time, and so I work a lot with business people because they are the ones who can change our planet, who can dissolve the haves and the have-nots, who can dissolve war by reaching into the deepest needs of all humanity and making a bridge that allows us all to have a good sense of self. Whether we live in the country and our success is you have a lot of bananas on your plate, or you are the head, you're the CEO of a great international business. You know, in the end of your life, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm. What would you tell people about the importance of developing their talents? You know, you are a writer, so what would you tell people about developing their talents towards experiencing a positive sense of self?
Well, I would say that there's a circle there. It goes around and around. It's holographic. In other words, if you have a talent for writing, write. But acknowledge to yourself and put your intention on that because I have this quality, I can serve others and myself. I deserve to be paid well for writing, for example. You know, I will use my talents to be visible in the world, and it, with that invisibility comes external success. All that needs to come to me to acknowledge and help me to recognize that energy. That's very important. And so I would say you were born with talents. Each person has particular kinds of energy that help them to be successful, which does play into high self-esteem. So again, it's a hologram. Your high self-esteem will help you to develop your talents. Developing your talents will help you to increase your sense of self or your high self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. So among our students, there are some who, for example, are not very sure about what their talents are. They come to class or they come to the therapy room saying, I don't know what my talents are. I don't know where to go, what to do. What would you tell them?
I would say begin very simply. If you sit in meditation in a class, ask your higher self to take form. Ask your higher self to show you your talents. Again, as I did with the inner child, you know, what are the gifts that you brought into this world? Maybe it's humor. Maybe it's compassion. Maybe it's art, creativity. Just listen inside to feel those talents and then begin to use those. They are what will help you to develop in a way that allows you to trust yourself, be secure. You know, again, because you don't get paid for being nice, well, maybe you do, but we don't value those things very often. We don't value the fact that you could be standing in line at a supermarket and smile or touch someone's shoulder and change their day. We don't value that because we haven't been taught to acknowledge it inside ourselves. Well done, Luciana. Well done. You helped this person to feel better about themselves. We don't applaud ourselves. We wait to see if the person smiles at us. And if the person doesn't acknowledge us, then we engage in, oh, I'm useless, nobody sees me, nobody's listening to me, and we go right down into that negative chatter. So what I would say is start with very simple qualities and build on them, practice them, be conscious of them, use them in your daily life, and without thinking about it, you'll feel good about yourself. That will give you the courage to be more and more visible, because this is the time to be visible on this planet.
Mm-hmm. And about being visible, what would you say is the relation between money, you know, how much you earn for doing something, and your own positive sense of self?
Well, we've identified money as a way to feel good about ourselves, to imprint our patting ourselves on the back and saying the world acknowledges me because I'm of the successful group. You know, I'm successful, I wield power. Money represents power and success to us. And that, of course, is illusory if you consider that you can't take it with you when you die. But money is a great power that we can transform energetically. It's an energy. If you want money, for example, then give money. That's a basic principle of energy. And as you become the giver, you recognize a sense of success. So I would say sense of success is very, very important. And money is just one of the ways that we evaluate or applaud ourselves or judge whether we are good or not. It has nothing to do with sense of success. In actuality, I learned this from living in a small village in El Salvador, where to modern standards we would say these people were very poor, but they had positive sense of success. They had positive esteem, and it wasn't based on money. you know, and so I learned a great lesson from them. So we need to wield money in a new way. We also have a sense of recognition that money will get you what you want, you know, and we just need to learn to use it differently. We feel guilty about being wealthy. We need to let that go. We think money is dirty. So on the one hand, we say, I'm successful because I have money, but at the same time, we feel guilty. That doesn't give us a clear message as to who we are. So what I would say is we need to realize that having money is a great opportunity. So it's fine to want to have money, but think of how to use it in a way that supports everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, when it comes to your body, if you're sick, money won't help you. When you die, money won't help you. And so we have to reevaluate how to wield money in the world. Since we have assigned value to money and said that it's a part of success, that energy is here. Now we must use it in a different way. That's why we have economic problems on the planet today, because we're learning. We're learning about the truth of money. And, of course, the truth is that we're the source of what we create. You know, if you get a job that gives you lots of money, you're the source of it, not the outside world. And so the self-esteem must come beyond the thing that you can see outside, but the thing that you may not see, which is within you.
Are there inner or outer signs, personal signs, to indicate that each of us is actually living with a positive sense of self?
Again, the signs of positive sense of self are how you feel, how you move in your life. Do you notice nature? Do you see the beauty in other people? Do you reach out into the world? Are you peaceful? Those are the signs of a positive sense of self or high self-esteem.
And that also would be maybe signs for the collective evolvement of sense of self,
yes.
Right?
Yes, and so what we're seeing today is a great divide, an abyss between positive and negative, which is an illusion. You know, polarity is an illusion. And we're all, whether we're on the positive or the negative side of that, we are all going through this cosmic lesson at this moment. It's a great opportunity to be on the planet right now. So if we have a positive sense of self, our responsibility is to seed that into the world, into all humans. If we have a negative sense of self, our responsibility is to get rid of it. Our responsibility is to learn to know the self in a new way, a way that connects to nature, to other humans, to the divine.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any final words for all our listeners who are actually listening to this interview live or will be listening to this interview on demand?
Yes, my final words to all of you who are listening are that you are your own healer. And so don't think in your head. Use the energy. Feel inside. What does a sense of security, what does a sense of self, what does a high esteem feel like in you? And then reinvent that and amplify it. Allow it to flow through and nourish all the cells of your body. If you nourish the cells of your body with positive energy, you will be healthy, you will be happy, and you will contribute to all of us. Don't judge yourself. Don't think about it. Don't compare with others. Be yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There we
so
have
everybody,
it.
If you would... that's really wonderful of you, dear. So everybody, if you would like to know more about Chris Griscom, you can find her at internet. Her webpage is www.chrisgriscom.com. There you will find more about her, about the two places she runs in which she helps everybody into the light. One of them is called the Light Institute of Galisteo, And the other one is called the Nisoni School for Global Consciousness. Both of them, you can find them on the webpage. And Chris, what about if people would like to buy your books? Where can they find them? Are they in Amazon or Barnes & Noble?
Yes, get them on Amazon. You can get them from the Light Institute. Many bookstores carry them. They're in 14 different languages. So they're easy to find. And I would say again, I'm so happy that my higher self insisted that I write the words, but it's the energy in the books. And that energy is about inspiring yourself to the great aha. Here's what is true. I already knew that. So that you can be your own inner healer.
Thank you, Chris. We really appreciate all the help that you've given us through this interview. And we praise your work. We praise yourself. We praise your soul. We really want to give you this big, big hug from the hearts of everybody that's within the community. So thank you very much for being with us today.
That's so lovely, Luciana. And let me say in parting that we all honor you for your voice and for your choices in this world. So I send you my support and my great love.
Thank you, dear. Lots of love your way as well. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.